Okay. Our final case of the day is In Re Interest of Audrey B. And before I begin, I want to just make sure that all of council is all appearing remotely today. And I want, can all of you hear me? Either unmute and say yes or give me a thumbs up. Okay, everybody can hear me. Good, good. We have, this is a case where we have an appellant and a cross appellant. We conferred as a panel prior to the argument, and given that the mother and the father's interests are not the same in this case, we have elected to allow both the appellant and the cross appellant to have the full 10 minutes of argument time. We typically do not allow extra time for the appellee, Ms. Long. However, we're willing to fudge that a little bit if you do need a little extra time so that you can respond to both of the arguments of the appellant and the cross appellant. So if you see the time running out and you need more time, just let us know. All right, with that then, we will start with the appellant, and I believe that is Mr. Harvoy.
May it please the court, I'm Robert Harvoy. I represent the mother, Tiffany L., in this matter. And I guess I'd like to start with something maybe that we all can agree on. I'd like to thank the court to allow us to appear by Zoom and remotely. I think it's difficult for the court, but you've succeeded in at least having four attorneys agree on one point on appeal. The mother's appeal, basically, there's three points to her appeal. The first deals with the best interest. In a juvenile case, and the best interest of the child is a primary consideration in determining whether parental rights should be terminated. The law doesn't require a perfect parent. The court should look at continuing improvement in parental skills and beneficial relationship between the parent and child. And under this, I think the facts of the case show that the mother was improving, was continuing to improve, completed substance abuse, had a safety plan, had stable housing, actively worked with counselors, completed parenting classes, and for the most part, took advantage of any services offered. I think the mother clearly would have liked other services that dealt with her mental health more directly, that would have helped, I guess, show reasonable efforts were made and helped her get back together with her daughter, Tiffany. I think also the record show that they had a loving relationship, that they got along, that, and so the mother's first point is that the state failed to meet its burden of proof in showing that it was in Tiffany's best interest her rights were terminated. So along those lines, that's the first thing. Second thing is that the court should have done a guardianship in this matter or placed with the father. Either way, I think the case law, in absence of a reasonable alternative, termination is permissible. The mother believes that there was a reasonable alternative. The child's placed with the father's parents, family placement. I think that would at least allow a reasonable alternative was a guardianship, given the child and parents, I guess, closeness and their bond. Additionally, I won't argue.
Mr. Harvoy?
Yes.
Sorry, I attempted to ask a question a minute ago, so now I've
I'm sorry.
No, we were muted, so not your problem. But in any event, when you argued about services that weren't provided to the mother, I guess I'd like to know exactly what services you feel were not provided for her in this case.
Well, along those lines, Your Honor, I think that is clear that it was diagnosed at some point that she needed child parent psychotherapy. she started the CPP and it was making progress, she was making progress on that. And then whether I think she got little crosshairs with the psychologist, Dr. Held, and whether it was she was fired or he terminated her, I don't think she understand that, you know, Western Nebraska, there's very limited providers, that this wouldn't be easily started again. It was clear that this is a service that she needed to reunify with her child. And she was making progress on that. And then all of a sudden, it was stopped due to this relationship problem. But it was never restarted. And in fact, I think the child went to Louisiana right away after it was stopped, because, you know, in Western Nebraska, there aren't providers. And unfortunately, I think that CPP was a major component to trying to reunify her and the child. And without at least giving that a reasonable chance, and I don't think it was given a reasonable chance because she was making progress and then it was stopped. So that is one. I think that she, you know, in addition, wanted services that would directly deal with her mental health, and I don't think those were ever provided or addressed. And some of the problem is, you know, they had several psychological evaluations during this case. I think HHS testified the first one or two were not successful, that they weren't, you know, that they believed she may have lied or they didn't address her mental health needs. The third one, I think, happened or was provided to the court, you know, after termination proceedings were already started. So it's not like that's going to do any good. So I think some of the problem is that, you know, obviously, I think in our brief, we talk about the child parent psychotherapy part of this, that was not addressed or allowed. In addition, you know, the second point is the guardianship. Again, I think if the father's appeal is successful, there's no real reason to terminate mom's parental rights. She had a good relationship. I don't know why she couldn't have small amounts of time with their child. I don't think that was ever shown in the, you know, testimony of why that wouldn't be allowed. I think mom and Audrey did have a great relationship and should be allowed. The last point, you know, is on the American Disabilities Act, which I guess goes to your question on services. You know, obviously some states say it's ties sort of into, you know, the state providing reasonable efforts. You know, if the case plan and court report doesn't address their specific mental health needs, were the efforts reasonable if they were never going to reunify her and her child? Again, the one thing that was identified throughout the case was that, you know, the one thing that could have reunified her and the child would be the child parent psychotherapy. And that was not done to fruition due to the personality conflict with the psychologist. I don't think it's a case where mom really understood that by firing this psychologist or getting into it with him, that it would cause a complete, I guess, denial of that service, that there wouldn't be another provider that would be able to step in and complete that service. I think the, you know, testimony is that if that was done properly, it would have taken a long time, no question about that, but it would have gave mom at least an opportunity to try to reunify with her and her child. And so essentially that is our appeal. If there's no Mr. questions. Hartley. Yes.
Sorry. Was it the mother's position at trial with regard to guardianship that the paternal grandmother should have the guardianship in Louisiana?
Your Honor, I, you know, I was not the trial attorney on this. I am not sure her total position is. I think her position all along is that she should be reunified with her child. But obviously, if you're having or putting the child with a relative, a you know, of the father, that there is no reason at that point to terminate her rights, and especially given, you know, her situation where, you know, she did have such a strong bond with the child. So that is our position. I guess I'd like to save the balance of our time if there's no other questions.
That'll be fine, Mr. Harvoy. We'll reserve the remainder of your time. Ms. Bach.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the court, counsels. Unique experience here getting to do this via Zoom. It's kind of nice. My case is substantially different than Mr. Harvoy's, and I appreciate Mr. Harvoy jumping in on this, not having been not trial counsel before and then trying to write an appeal on a juvenile court case is very difficult. But with Clifford L., his case is substantially different. I think procedurally, if you'll look at my brief, this case was actually started in May of 2020, where Tiffany was the offending parent based on substance abuse and mental health issues. At that time, when the department filed this case, they listed my client's address as unknown. An amended petition was filed. They listed his address as unknown. It wasn't until January of 2021 that Clifford entered his first appearance into this case. And since January 2021, he has been actively involved in the case. But for Hurricane Katrina, I probably wouldn't be here today. The only reason that Clifford was not in Audrey was because the ICPC didn't go through because of the damage to his home from the hurricane. And that's noted, Ms. Oliveras, Ms. Matheny, both of them testified that the only reason that the ICPC was not approved was because of that. It wasn't an issue of background check. It wasn't an issue of his ability to parent. It wasn't an issue of substance abuse or mental health. And in fact, all of the caseworkers that worked with Clifford L., all of them said that he did excellent on his visits. This came on in a time during COVID, and it made it not only difficult because of being in Louisiana, but trying to do virtual visits with a small child. And yet my client was able to go out. He would take his little phone outside and he would walk through, and he made his daughter a fairy garden. And he would go through and say, what's different? What have I added or what have I taken away to engage with her? And all of the caseworkers said he did an excellent job of that. He had a few visits in person up here in Nebraska. All of those went very, very well. And I think
Ms. Bach.
Yes.
Sorry, we're having a little technical difficulty here in the delay, so I apologize for that. But with regard to the housing, of course, Katrina was a few years prior to this proceeding, right?
Yes, but there was another hurricane after that that was smaller, that didn't get as much press, that also damaged his home.
Evidence about the status of the repair efforts during the course of this case, or what the condition of the house was at the time of the termination trial?
We didn't have any of that information, Your Honor, so I apologize. It was not brought at trial. I know that during the pendency of the case, they did work towards, before we filed for the ICPC for his mother, for Vanessa M., they did substantial work to her house once his had been denied so that it could be approved. So the efforts went from Clifford L. to Vanessa's place of residence. And then it was approved for the ICPC, and then the change of placement was made down there. During the course of this, and it was testified to at the termination hearing, that Clifford had been on board with a guardianship with his mom from day one. And I think the state and the GL hung their hat on the 15 out of 22 months. You know, and again, it's very difficult when you're dealing with an out-of-state father to be able to get that child back into their home. It's a little easier when they're in Nebraska and they do a home study and they do a background, and if everything's fine, we just move the child over there. But because of the interstate compact, we have to go that route. And so my client was very limited on his ability to have visits to secure those. And he is opposed, quite frankly.
He's back.
Yes. Yes.
Occupation, the type of work that he did, and whether that prevented him from spending more time in Nebraska.
I don't believe it was an issue of his employment. He does odd jobs, what he's always done. It was a matter of balancing time with the mother. There was a time when she was inpatient treatment with what they call a mommy and me program. He did travel here using vouchers from the state. They did pay for airline tickets for him and hotel vouchers. But it was difficult. He didn't have the means to travel up here on his own. And so the state only could do so much with regards to bringing him up here. But he did exercise, as it was testified to, all of his virtual visits. And when he did come here, he did very, very well. So these two individuals, the child and the father, have an excellent bond. This isn't a situation where you have an absent father that doesn't know his child and he's having to reintroduce himself to her. Everybody testified that she has an excellent bond with him, that his parenting skills weren't at issue. I believe it was Ms. Olivares that testified that she had no concerns about issues. And so really what this came down to is, unfortunately, the inability for the ICPC to be approved. And I guess taking a step back from that and not having known what the condition of his home was, we probably wouldn't have done the ICPC as quickly as when we did, had we known that that would have been the only factor that would have kept him from being approved. And so
Ms. with Bach. That,
yes.
Was there evidence that after Audrey was moved to Louisiana, that Clifford exercised visitation there?
Yes, I believe Ms. Martin testified to that.
Personally.
And that he had a good relationship with her. I think her testimony, if I recall correctly, was that she basically did it as a supervised visit as well, because she didn't know from direction from caseworkers whether she could just let Clifford take her or what, but he did come to the house and would exercise his visits at Vanessa's home.
Well, before your time expires, could we yes. also talk about the reason he wasn't at the termination trial?
Yes, we can. Unfortunately, my
client
was yes. in jail both in August and September, or do we know?
Yes, he was in both, unfortunately. And I'm very confused about the wheels of justice in Louisiana. We attempted to do a transport order to get him to appear via Zoom from the Calcathes County Jail. And we were advised that that would take a governor's warrant to allow him to appear over Zoom. So he was not allowed to appear because of the facility that he was in. He unfortunately, and Ms. Martin testified to this, and it's in my brief, that he was riding a motorcycle, got a license, and was going to be pulled over and then fled from the officers. And that's what landed him in the Calcathes County Jail. It wasn't a crime of violence. It was not a narcotics violation. And unfortunately, they sit. I can't explain why he wasn't processed through their system any faster than he was. And so,
Ms. Bach,
at the time of the trial, do we have any information as to whether he had been convicted or sentenced for these charges?
I don't know, as though it was testified to, but he was still awaiting a public defender at the time. I don't think he'd even been to the inside of the courthouse yet in September. And so, and again, I don't know the wheels of justice in Louisiana. And so, I would say, in my opinion, they probably need some WD-40 to run a little faster, but that's just me. So we didn't have that information, but with given the last minute of my time, are there any additional questions that I can address?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Then I would just end with that. I believe it's in Audrey's best interest to be reunited with her father at some point, whether that's through the use of a guardianship or having this court overturn the lower court's ruling and not terminate his parental rights and allow him to have his child or at least have a guardianship with her. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bach. Ms. Long.
Thank you. If it pleases the court and counsel, I am Audrey Long. I am the court-appointed guardian ad litem for Audrey B. in this case. The state is not going to argue, so I will be using that time for both of us, although it was a joint brief. Your Honors, I guess I will address the mother's claims first. I think the lower court's ruling should be affirmed in its entirety. The requirement was clear and convincing evidence to sustain one of the several factors alleged for termination. It was clear that the mother failed to put herself in a position to parent Audrey in an appropriate, healthy manner. There were plenty of services provided to her. She just wasn't able to do it. I will grant that she maintained a home and she continued trying to work with providers. The issue is that she did not take advantage of those services. And if she did, she argued, she threatened, she was hostile. Visits were cut short for a period of 3 months because of her behaviors and basically a reversal of parenting roles. She did try to improve somewhat in her parenting skills, but again, many times suggestions were hit with resistance or arguments. The relationship she had with Audrey, while Audrey had fun with her, that was clearly testified to. The issue is that the attachment was unhealthy, it was insecure. And Dr. Hald was called as an expert in psychology and relationships between parents and children and clearly testified that rather than trying to work on her mental illness, the mother used it as an excuse to not work hard or blamed others for the reason she wasn't getting what she wanted out of the situation. He worked with her and Audrey for 8 months. And CPP can be longer than that, and he testified to that. The issue is there was hardly any progress being made. And when Dr. Hall began to get information that mother's behaviors outside of CPP were quite different than during the 45, 50 minutes he had with her on a weekly basis, he joined a team meeting and he was shocked by her behaviors. Right after that team meeting, he was fired by mother. So it wasn't that CPP wasn't given an opportunity or long enough. She cut it off. And that's because she didn't get what she wanted. So I respectfully disagree with Mr. Harvoy's assertion that they didn't have time to continue working CPP. When she didn't get what she wanted, she says, that's it, I'm done. And that is her own issue. Nothing can force her to change that.
Ms. Long.
Excuse me, did the department make any efforts to find another CPP provider?
Yes, Your Honor, they did. One of the issues we had, though, is that, as testified or argued here today, we don't have a lot of providers in the area for that. The ones that we do have available had waiting lists. And by the time one of those were available to have time on their lists or their docket, Audrey had been placed down in Louisiana with her paternal grandmother. So at that point, it was basically unable to be worked unless it was done through a virtual setting, which what I understand is there's definite different rules on which state and how you can conduct them and who pays for what. I want to link that into the services that mother claims she didn't know under the ADA. A couple of points. Her own mother testified and said that Tiffany had absolutely no limitations. And that in and of itself is a huge statement. Second to that, of the evaluation she took, what was recommended of those evaluations, those services were already included in the case plans. And she never said, hey, I need this additional service. And then HHS could have provided it to her. Unfortunately, it's hindsight's better than foresight in this situation. And since the writing was on the wall, that Tiffany's inability to overcome and work on her mental health to become a safe parent was facing her, then it was simply, we're going to find another excuse as to why you haven't provided me with anything. And that's something Dr. Hall continued to say, is that everything that was included as a service to her is exactly what he would have recommended given her mental health diagnoses. So I don't think that there is anything else HHS could have or should have done. It honestly, it's just a red herring. It's another way to, hey, don't focus on me and my inabilities. Let's try to blame somebody else. So I think with all of that, it's clearly shown that she was unable to rehabilitate herself in a normal accepted time. And one thing I would point out, the state and GAL were not waiting for the 15 out of 22. These cases are long and difficult as they are with mental health. What I will also point out is over my objection and over the state's objection, the court granted exceptions twice to allow mom additional time to try to put herself together, and it simply wasn't done. Turning to the issue of the guardianship that both parents have kind of talked about, guardianship would be completely a disservice to Audrey in this case. As it pertains to the mother, again, there's an insecure attachment, an unhealthy relationship. Mom's threats towards providers even increased to say she was going to murder Vanessa, who had placement of Audrey. Clearly, we cannot say putting her in that potential home for a guardianship would be safe for Audrey, let alone the potential guardian. So that's not the least restrictive alternative as it becomes available to Tiffany and her daughter. As it relates to Clifford, I think with Clifford's admission, he was fine with his mother having guardianship, clearly shows he had no intent on wanting to parent Audrey. And that's why he fixed up his mom's house rather than his own house. And that in and of itself shows his intention to forfeit his parental rights, which then loops back around to when you have the 15 out of 22 as an allegation, you have to show best interest. And part of that is to show unfitness of a parent. And Clifford clearly was fine having somebody else do the job for him. Yes, he did well on visits with Audrey and they seemed to have a good relationship, but he made no attempts to show that he wanted to be a parent. And furthermore, his choice was running away from the cops right on the heels of a termination trial and then being incarcerated for the last two portions of that hearing. He wasn't in a position to have Audrey even if he wanted to. And for that reason, guardianship was just not appropriate. As it relates to Ms. Bach's arguments of the timing of situations, it is true the case started in May of 20. He was determined genetically to be the father in January of 21. The termination motion was filed in March of 22. Trial didn't take place until July and August and September of 22. So during that time, he had sufficient time to show he wanted to parent Audrey, that he intended to parent Audrey, and that he could come see her and work on these things. And he chose not to. He did the virtual visits. He came when HHS would pay for him, but he had nothing else holding him back from trying to do more. And sadly, that's his choice. And no one can force him to step up and be a parent. So I think
didn't he participate in team meetings?
He did. Yes, he did.
At any time during the case, did he indicate to the department he was not interested in pursuing his parental rights?
He never really said those words in particular, but when discussed about, hey, the ICPC was denied because of your house, are you working on it? There was never really follow through. The focus was to get his mother's house approved so that Audrey could be placed with his mother and not with him. So I would say based upon his actions or frankly inaction, it was clear that he wasn't intending to get her back into his custody, but preferred that Audrey be placed with his mother. I'll turn, I guess, to the last part, Your Honors, and that is of the best interest. I think when you take everything put together, the services provided, the time of how long this case was open, the opportunities given to both parents to try to reunify, wasn't enough. It clearly shows that Audrey's best interests are served by, unfortunately, the ultimate decision that is to terminate her parental rights. Audrey can't sit back. She at that time was sitting for 28 months waiting for one of her parents to step up and mature and parent her. And they couldn't get it done. And that's not fair for her. I mean, the court's been known for 30 years. Children should not have to wait in foster care for their parents to finally decide to step up at the plate and be a parent.
Ms. Long.
Have the child placed with the family member in a location where father is located?
I'm sorry, Your Honor. The other gal was talking when you started your question. Could you repeat it?
So is it different in this case, those usual propositions? Is it different where here we have Audrey placed with a family member, her paternal grandmother, in the location where her father is located? And so arguably going forward, there could be efforts toward reunification. Doesn't that make this case a little different than when a child's in foster care?
Yes, it does, Your Honor. They can find those exceptions to not proceed under the 15 out of 22 if it placed in a relative home. The situation was that when she was finally placed there, the TPR motion had been filed. There was no motion to stay. And again, as unfortunate as it was, Clifford was in jail. Can't really work reasonable efforts when you're in jail. And at that point,
I don't disagree, but as to the best interest, I'm just not seeing evidence that this father has shown to be unfit.
Your Honor, I respect your position, but I disagree. I believe that he forfeited that right because all efforts he made was to ensure that his mother could get placement of Audrey. And that was his goal from the very beginning. He never repaired, the simple thing he had to do was repair his home. And rather than doing that, he focused on getting his mom to do that. And even when he came to Nebraska to visit his daughter, his mom came with him to visit because the whole intent was, I want my mom to parent. And that's the step I argue to say he has forfeited his parental rights, which is a factor to determine unfitness. And I see that my time is up, Your Honor. So if there is any other questions, I'll entertain them. Otherwise, I will just submit and ask you to affirm the decision.
All right. I don't believe there are any other questions. Thank you, Ms. Long. And we'll go back to Mr. Harvoy. I neglected to say, I believe Ms. Bach still had a 45 seconds or so.
26
seconds. So we will give you a brief chance for rebuttal, Ms. Bach, after Mr. Harvoy is finished. So but we'll go to Mr. Harvoy first. And go ahead, Mr. Harvoy.
Thank you, Your Honor. I think the testimony of the caseworker at trial was, if the father had a house, Audrey would have been sent to Louisiana and the case would be dismissed. I think that testimony does not support the assertion by the GAL that mother's rights had to be terminated regardless. I think this is a case where if there was one parent willing or able to take care of Audrey, that the mother's rights should also have not been terminated or the state should not seek terminating. I don't know if there's any showing. I mean, maybe there's a showing that she couldn't full-time parent at this point without some services or CPP to go through, but on small increments, I think they're showing that her and Audrey had a good relationship. I think that this case, if Audrey would have been sent to Louisiana, we would have had a totally different outcome. And I think the court should remand this case and basically instruct that, not to terminate either party's rights and proceed on that basis. So I would submit it on that basis, Your Honor.
Any other questions?
No.
There are no other questions. Thank you, Mr. Harvoy. And then we will go to Ms. Bach as soon as you see the...
Thank you. Very briefly, ahead. I think it's long standing that once an ICPC has been denied to someone, to try and do it again is almost fruitless. And so that's why it was shifted gears to work towards Ms. Vanessa's home in an effort to approve the ICPC there, where Clifford would have access to his daughter and they would be able to reunify. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, counsel. And we will take the matter under submission. We appreciate your arguments today and you are excused.